Hello and welcome to Dealcast from Merger Market, the podcast that gives you essential news, data and analysis from around the globe. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. Now, Mexico has introduced sweeping changes to its energy sector and the way it's regulated. To find out more, I'm joined by Carlos Martinez, who is Canada editor and head of energy coverage. Hi, Carlos. Thanks for joining me and welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So could you begin by explaining as simply as possible for those not familiar with the situation, what are the changes that have been made to Mexico's energy regulatory framework in the past few months? And maybe start off with the background to those changes.
Yes, of course. So in March, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum enacted a sweeping energy reform package, significantly restricting private sector participation in the energy sector. These changes follow a 2024 constitutional reform that largely reversed the short-lived liberalization of Mexico's energy sector in 2014. So the new changes, what they do is they reinforce the control of state-owned Petróleos Mexicanos, which we all know as Pemex, and Comisión Federal de Electricidad, CFE, over the oil and gas and electricity sectors, respectively. So, for instance, Pemex will have priority in selecting oil fields, and it can partner with private companies either through service contracts or so-called mixed development contracts, where it must maintain a stake of at least 40% in those partnerships. On the electricity side, by law, at least 54% of the electricity dispatched to the national grid must come from CFE. And while private companies may develop utility scale projects, they must sell the power generated exclusively to CFE. CFE can also form JVs, but as in the case with Pemex, it must own at least, in this case, 54% in those JVs. And the new laws also eliminate independent regulators. So in a nutshell, there's a lot of laws, but basically that's what it entails.
So it's basically giving the state more power when it comes to the country's energy, but also stops external investment or limits external investment into those two companies, Pemex and CFE.
Correct. Yes, exactly. And perhaps sort of a bit of explanation or context of why this is happening. So Sheinbaum's predecessor and for many political mentor, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, famously known as AMLO, he was strongly against the liberalization of Mexico's energy sector and actually campaigned against it. And while he only pushed for constitutional amendments towards the end of his six-year presidency, from the get-go, he looked for ways for limiting the role of private companies in the energy sector. So, for instance, as soon as he came into power, he halted all new oil block auctions, arguing that private companies had not fulfilled their production and investment commitments. And yet, one big oil discovery made by a private company in the Sama offshore field, the energy regulator at the time, which was filled with government appointees, ruled that Pemex should take control of that field because it was next to one of its own. So one of the other things AMLO did was during COVID, his government stopped granting new permits for renewable energy projects, arguing that the lockdowns raised the need for a more, quote, reliable and continuous power supply. So this retrenching or walking back on the liberalization had started from Sheinbaum's predecessor. She's just now codifying into law, so to speak.
Okay, that explains it really well. Thank you. And could you tell me where Mexico is in its energy transition and how these changes relate to that? Because President Sheinbaum has quite an interesting backstory here.
Yes. And it's a very interesting question. And that's one that we personally are following very closely. So again, Sheinbaum's mentor, AMLO, was deeply against renewables. Obviously, he thought it was taking away market share from CFE, thought them as unreliable. There was a 2021 massive power outage, for example. And sort of blame it on renewables and a bushfire. Sheinbaum, on the other hand, is a former climate scientist. She has a PhD in energy engineering. But up until now, she's been playing a very delicate game of embracing renewables, especially sort of in public and in press conference, while at the same time not completely disavowing AMLO's moves against renewable companies and blaming them for the unreliability of the country's power grid. So it's still to be seen how far her government will embrace renewables, but obviously by limited private investment to 46% of power generation, I'd say it's not looking bright, and no pun intended, but it's not looking bright in terms of sort of the renewables place in Mexico.
Okay, I know the pun wasn't intended, but it was a good one. So this is an M&A podcast. What does all this mean for M&A in Mexico's energy sector, and has there been any impact so far?
Well, by formally limiting private investment in the energy sector, we do not expect much M&A in Mexico's energy sector, to be honest. And not a lot has been happening anyway. If anything, we will continue to see deal making associated with companies exiting or reducing their presence in the country. Shell, for example, it's exiting the country by selling its fuel retail operations, to Mexican conglomerate Icon. Talos, who battled Pemex for control of that huge Sama field that I was talking about earlier, in 2023 sold nearly half its Mexican subsidiary to Carlos Slim Grupo Carso. There's another company, Vista Oil and Gas, publicly listed in Mexico, founded by Argentinian oil executives. It is slimming down its presence in Mexico and instead focusing on Argentina's Vaca Muerta shale basin. So even to that cap on private investment, it's making it harder for domestic energy companies to attract fresh capital. We've reported on several times, Jaguar Exploración y Producción, a Mexico-based junior upstream company that was created following that 2014 opening of the energy sector. They have been searching for equity investors to commercially develop its, I think it's 10 onshore blocks since at least 2019, without any success so far. So, I mean, it's not looking bright. I think something will change. One interesting thing is if anyone will partner with Pemex and CFE, it's going to be local companies. And at least in the case of oil production, which is Pemex, it might already be like suppliers and contractors that have been working with Pemex and they are owed money by Pemex. So they can just say, we can make an arrangement. So you pay me in kind with this. So the last figure that I read was that Pemex owed suppliers and contractors as much as $14 billion. So maybe some of those will partner. But besides that, I don't think any foreign company will come in. And obviously, no one will be interested in doing M&A or acquiring a company in Mexico to have a presence in the energy sector.
So it feels like it's a bit of a closed door for certainly foreign investors and maybe even domestic private companies. What are the risks associated with that?
So oil production in Mexico has been steadily declined. AMLO was a big believer on having increasing crude production and believing the oil was the future economically and sort of geopolitical for the country. But still, he couldn't sort of stop that decline. That's still going to happen. They're looking to increase production with some of those partnerships, but if no real big company is going to take part in those partnerships, that decline is just going to continue. Mexico already imports most of its fuel, gasoline, from the U.S. because it doesn't have the refining capacity. So it might at some point start importing crude, which is sort of, we all know Mexico's a big oil producer, and I don't think that's too far away. And same with power generation. Sort of the demand for power, it's huge, especially in the northern part of Mexico that has all this maquilas and factoring and manufacturing going into the U.S., big power demands. There's not enough power generation plants, transmission lines. For all that, CFE needs money. That's why it still left that door open for partnerships, but if no one's going to be interested in those partnerships, it's hard for them to meet those power demands. So yes, it's not looking great.
And it doesn't sound like there are many bright spots on the horizon. Another pun there to do with the energy sector. But give us something positive to end on, Carlos.
Yeah, so one of the positive things about this is it provides some certainty to investors and everyone looking at the energy sector. So before this constitutional changes and this changes in different laws, Chainbound's predecessor was limiting the amount of involvement of private companies in the energy sector. But all of those moves, or most of those moves, were challenged in courts, and several of them had to be backtracked, which really angered AMLO, which is why he pushed to formally reverse the liberalization of Mexico's energy sector in the constitution, and also decided that because federal judges, who he publicly criticized for ruling against his government, would now have to be elected by popular vote, the first vote taking place 2 weeks ago. So what this does, at least it creates some kind of certainty. Now we know there's no independent regulators. Now we know, okay, it's by law, 54% of power generation should be done by CFE. Pemex, if it engages in any type of partnership, will have at least 40%. So even though it's not the greatest of rules for private investment, at least it's codified. It's not up on the whims of a precedent and going into courts and sort of try to determine, can the government do this or don't do that? At least now it's written in law, everyone knows. And if you want to engage in the Mexican energy sector, you know what you're up against.
Wonderful. Good to talk to you, Carlos. Thanks a lot. That was Carlos Martinez, Canada editor and head of energy coverage. And just to point out, we're recording this on Monday, the 16th of June. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Markets. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please give us a rating and review. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.